Right, I've come to church this morning with a good book to read. It's not that I thought I was going to be boring or other parts of the service were going to be boring, but I wanted to say a little bit about reading. But first of all, I'd just like to say a verse from the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I don't know about you, but I love to read. I often pick up books recommended by a friend or reviewed in a newspaper that sounds interesting, intriguing, or funny. My daughter recommended this book, Life After Life, when it was first published. The reviews were good, and I love the other works that I've read by the same author, Kate Atkinson. I was looking forward to reading it, but after a few pages, I found it impenetrable. I left it for a few weeks and tried again, but still couldn't get on with it. About a year later, I tried again. I got a little further this time, but I still found it hard to get into. And in the end, I just gave up, deciding that life was too short to bother with something I couldn't get on with, especially when there were so many other books that I could be reading. I've sometimes found the Old Testament can be similar. It can seem impenetrable and very wordy. I remember the long lists of who beget whom, unpronounceable names, and complicated laws. For me, the Bible comes to life in the New Testament with the exciting news of the birth of Jesus, his life, the parables, the miracles, his death on the cross, the joyous news of his resurrection, our salvation, the growth of the church, the knowledge that he is our Saviour. But actually, have you ever thought that Jesus might be in the Old Testament too? I particularly like reading detective stories. One where there are lots of clues, sometimes very subtle ones, and sometimes very obvious ones. I like to guess who the murderer is, and love the way that the story reaches its conclusion and the culprit is revealed. I've usually got it wrong, by the way. In some ways, the Bible is a bit like a detective story, and although it hinges on the death of the main character, it isn't about a murder. The Bible story builds towards the moment when God's Saviour is revealed, and the Old Testament is full of clues or prophecies about God's plans for sending Jesus. In fact, there are over 300 prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. And there are also lots of stories that point us to Jesus. In Isaiah, we hear about the coming of Jesus, that he will be born to a young woman, and that he will become our ruler, our counselor, our eternal father, and prince of peace. In the book of Psalms, it is foretold that Jesus will use parables. And in Isaiah again, there are messages about how he will heal the sick and preach. But perhaps the most powerful prophecy is that of Jesus' death, also in Isaiah, which describes God coming to earth and how he is despised and rejected, endured suffering and pain. He was treated harshly, but endured it humbly. The Lord says, "It was my will that he should suffer. His death was a sacrifice to bring forgiveness." An early prophecy found in the Old Testament, and which you might recall from Sunday school, and which I think is particularly significant, is the story of God asking Abraham to sacrifice his beloved son Isaac. Abraham loved God, and he loved his son. But Abraham trusted God, and he and Isaac set off on a donkey together. When the donkey could go no further, Isaac carried the wood for the fire on his own back. An altar was built. And when Isaac asked where the lamb was for the sacrifice, Abraham told him that there was no lamb and that Isaac should climb onto the wood. All of these events may sound familiar. A son travelling on a donkey, carrying wood on his back, and climbing onto a high place. As Abraham raised his knife to kill Isaac, God shouted, "Stop!" and told him to sacrifice a ram instead. God knew that Abraham truly loved him because he had been prepared to give his only son for him. God wanted his people to live, not die. He wanted to save people, not punish them. Abraham was prepared to sacrifice his son, and in the New Testament, we see how God sacrificed his son for all of us. It seems very clear to me that throughout the Bible that God had a plan and that he was in control. It was always God's intention to send Jesus. God had a plan for Jesus, and he has a plan for all of us. Although sometimes it could be difficult for us to believe that and to see what his plan might be for us, especially when we feel out of control or that everything is against us. I can remember my mother telling me that hindsight is a wonderful thing, something I didn't really understand when I was younger, but as I've got older, I can see what she meant. It's easy as we look back over our lives to see events which were a turning point. We can see where we have made good decisions and where we might not have made such a good choice. Some decisions are made by others on our behalf or by matters out of our control. So where is God in this, and where is God leading us to in the future? We need to listen to God and hear where he is guiding us. We can look for the answer in the scriptures, worshipping in church, praying and sharing our faith with others. Sometimes it can be easy to see where God is directing us. A good friend of mine who is a street pastor had been thinking hard about the way her life was heading. She had more time now that her family and work commitments had changed, and she wasn't sure what she wanted to do. She describes how she had a very clear dream one night of sitting on a park bench and God saying to her very, very clearly that she should become a street pastor. This was a strong message which she couldn't ignore. But for many of us, there is no blinding light moment like this. Often God has a habit of gently nudging us into doing something, perhaps like a tap on the shoulder or a whisper in the ear. His message can come from unexpected sources, a chance meeting with somebody, overhearing a conversation. God can just drop a hint which, like a seed, germinates and gradually grows, and no matter how much you try to ignore it, eventually you have to give in and listen to him. Frequently, God will ask us to do something that is outside our comfort zone, a challenge or something that we find difficult, like me giving this talk today. So what is God asking us to do? Whether we hear what he is saying clearly, like my friend in her dream, or whether it's just a hunch, a feeling that we should be doing something, we need to listen and to trust in God. God will guide us and show us what he wants us to do. If we trust in him, he will guide us and show us, just as the Old Testament is full of promises that God fulfilled in Jesus, we need to believe that God is in control, even when it doesn't feel like it. So as with the book that we might be struggling with, it is worth persevering when we feel like God doesn't have a plan. Jesus is the proof of that. The clues are there. We just need to pick up on them and act on them. Amen.